Welcome back from the Stands Podcast. JC, Jacob, and Clint with you as always. Clint, how we doing, buddy?
Man, I'm just happy to be here with you guys.
Damn here, dude.
Attempt number three. I'm cool with it.
Hey, that's private information.
Not anymore. listen, work is kicking my butt this week, being out of town and whatnot. So this is going to be a strictly vibes episode from your boys. So excited though. Some big games we got to talk about.
And that, my friends, is how you make money betting, because it's all just picking vibes, right? So Clint's in for a big week. But good to see y'all boys again. We got another big week of football right here. So
ready for it. Huge week. That got me pretty good. All right, before we start, Jacob, why don't you give us the standings for our pick'ems, man? Who's in the lead? Who's in last? And who's in second? I guess that's everything. I'm trying to make a run, dude, but I'm still sitting in last right now.
Yeah, man, the Yankees are winning, and I'm sorry, wrong standings. so, yeah, it's actually gotten really close here the past couple of weeks, and this week we have still in first place, Clint, at 65-63. You know, 500 is right where you want to be at the very least, and Clint, you're the only one that can say that, so still got first place. Then in second is me, Jacob. I'm 62-66, and just one game back behind is JC, 61-67. So, coming like I said, back, it's coming back. It's a close race right now. So, good luck, boys, this week.
I think we're gonna have a shift in the standings after this week. I've got a good feeling. Some of these, some of these lines are like, I mean, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 that are within like the 4 to 6 point mark. So, and some even less than that. So it's going to get real interesting here this week for sure. So, well, let's get right into it, guys. We got two ranked matchups, on Friday night. So this weekend's going to start, pretty hot right off the rip. So number two, Oregon, obviously coming off that huge win over Ohio State. Dylan Gabriel, you know, kind of pushed his Heisman candidacy even closer to the top, obviously there with Ginty and Travis Hunter. So they are traveling to Purdue. This is an 8 p.m. kick again on Friday night on Fox. Oregon, 27.5 point favorites, coming off again that huge win over Ohio State. Clint, I'm going to go to you first on this one. Who do you have? 27.5 point spread towards Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, again, vibes, right? So Oregon coming off the big win, and Purdue nearly pulling off a big win themselves. Friday night at, you know, you're playing at Purdue. I don't know why, like 27.5 feels like a ton to me, just with the situation that both of these teams are in. I think Oregon's going to try to play pretty conservative and safe. Just make sure they get out without making any big mistakes. So with that, I just think this spreads a lot. So give me Purdue plus the points.
There you go. What about you, Jacob?
I like it. I'm actually looking at the live lines. I kind of wrote these lines down yesterday, and Oregon is now -28.5. So all the money is going towards Oregon here, I think.
All right.
People are just kind of expecting Oregon to go in and take a dub at Purdue. But as history has taught us, Purdue on a Friday night against a top 10 team has not ended well for the top 10 team. Some examples: number two, Iowa in 2021, lost 24-7. Another example in 2018, number two, Ohio State, lost 49-20. I know I vividly remember that game. And then again, Ohio State number two in 1983, and then several more in the 60s and 70s and stuff. But it's happened, I think, 10 times. Not as much recently. And I think that's because college football has just gotten to where the top tier teams are just straight up, you know, almost NFL level. Not exactly. I'm not saying that they could go in and beat the Panthers, but the talent gap is maybe this year. But the talent gap is there. And I think that's what I'm believing here with Oregon. But if the point spread was not 27.5, I would have to pick Oregon. But I think Purdue, Clint, like you said, off the big win, or not a big win, but it was a big cover against Illinois last week, I'm going to take Purdue in the 27.5.
Man, you had me for a second. I thought you were actually going to go Oregon even after that spiel. You had me. I think, look, even before you gave us that stat, I'm kind of leaning with you guys as well, especially what Clint said in the beginning. I think Purdue has a little bit of momentum. Again, like, look, you not losing by 27 isn't like crazy good thing for your program. But for us making the picks, Oregon coming after a big win, I don't think they're going to have – maybe there's a little bit of a – kind of a drop off, but at the same time, maybe they're going to sit Dylan, maybe the third or fourth quarter, give him a rest, and maybe this gets a little closer. So I'm also going to take Purdue in the 27.5. It's just a lot of points at this time of the season versus a conference opponent. So three across the board there. Let's move into the next Friday night game, the last ranked matchup we have. Number 13, BYU. They're hosting Oklahoma State. We've talked about Oklahoma State and their disappointment this year so far in the Big 12. This is a 10:15 p.m. kick on ESPN. BYU opens up as 9.5-point favorites. Clint, who you got?
Give me BYU. Listen, like, Oregon State is not what at least I thought they would be coming into this year. They just have not lived up to expectations.
Me
I don't
either.
Know exactly what the problem is. Well, yeah. Well, that's expected, but not for Oklahoma State. Listen, I think with it being at BYU, they're on a tear right now. They've beaten some solid teams. You know, they took care of Kansas State, taking care of Arizona. I like them in this spot. And Oklahoma State, I don't know if they could stop the skidding with this game. Now, if we go back, I after this week, I could definitely see us talking about how, like, Oklahoma State just destroyed BYU, because that's like something they would do. But I'm not going to bet on that. Give me BYU minus the 9.5. I think a touchdown and a field goal, I think that's doable for them.
Yeah, Clint, I'm kind of right there with you. Not, I mean, just really because this is at, you know, it's in Utah, it's at BYU, and I'm not sure who cares on this Oklahoma State team anymore. They lost three in a row. Like I said, they're 0-3 in the conference, so they're not going to win their conference. A three-loss team's not getting to the playoffs, so obviously playoffs picture's out of this. And I think even a good bowl is out of this, of the picture for them for the season. And BYU's done it, like you said, Clint, against some pretty good teams. Arizona, KSU, I mean, we remember that. That was a blowout kind of deal. They beat SMU at SMU earlier this season as well. I mean, I have to kind of start picking BYU here until they prove me that they can't. And against this Oklahoma State team, like I said, I don't know who on that team cares anymore, because their expectations were way up here, and they're obviously not going to be able to meet them. So, yeah, give me BYU.
Yeah, and you beat me to BYU. I mean, that's something they've said today, that they want to get out there nationwide, and they don't care if you say it, obviously. Rhett slapped the quarterback there. But look, guys, I'm pretty high on BYU as well. I think that they played really well, and I think I picked them in some other ones that I know that one of the episodes, Clint, when you weren't here, me and Jacob differed on, might have been the Baylor game, possibly, when BYU covered quite well. And Oklahoma State still has talent, but I don't know, dude. Oklahoma State is so up and down. Like, one game they might, I mean, they still have the ability there. They still have a decent quarterback. They still have one of the better running backs in the country. Obviously not having a big of a year as we expected, but I don't know why. I think it's just because it's so up and down, and because Oklahoma State is so inconsistent, that this is just the time of the year where they're going to all of a sudden have a good game. So I'm actually going to take Oklahoma State to cover the 9.5. I think BYU still wins the game. I think they've just played better throughout the year, but it's just a weird time. And the Big 12 is still wide open, like we talked about. So Gundy's going to do something to figure out. He's going to win just enough games to keep his job somehow. So, and this is probably going to be one of them, or at least make it close. So yeah, give me Oak State and the 9.5. And hopefully we'll make some ground up on those picks. We'll see. All right, let's move into Saturday and start with the number one team in the nation, Texas. Game day is going to be in Austin for this game. They're hosting number 5 Georgia, one of the biggest matchups, if not the biggest matchups of the year. It's a 7:30 kick on ABC. Texas 5-point favorites. This is gonna be huge, guys. I'm really excited for this one. Clint, who do you have?
I mean, I can't really go against Texas right now. Listen, they're playing really good football. They got Quinn Ewers back last week. He started off, yeah, a little rusty coming off the injury, but then they just turned it on. And I think, yeah, Oklahoma's not you know, super stout this year. However, they did throw defensively. They threw a lot at Quinn Ewers in that offense, and especially after the first few drives, they were able to figure it out and just start putting their, you know, mashing the pedal and scoring quite a bit of points against a OU defense that's been, you know, semi-solid. So I, with Georgia, just the question marks, right? Like, you keep watching this team and you're like, this is not who they've been the past few years. Still a really good team. But when we're talking about, you know, you hold these teams to a high standard, this Georgia, like, they just don't look right. Offensively, like, with Carson Beck, he's a solid quarterback, but they're prone to make mistakes and there seems to be issues. And then on defense, they give up a fair amount of points, you know, something we're not used to seeing from Georgia. So give me Texas and I'll lay the points. It's at Texas, right? You said?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me Texas. And I think they have another big win under the belt after this week.
Interesting. I think I'm going to have to lean your direction, Clint. I'm going to go Texas minus five here. But I think the key to this game is the beginning of this game. It seems like Georgia's kind of started out a little slow in a lot of games, and then they either get down like they did to Mississippi State a little bit and just start having to keep up with them and just start throwing the ball like crazy. If Georgia can run the ball in this game and stick with it, they have a pretty decent shot at this. And I know it's kind of wild to say that about this Georgia team, because Georgia's been the standard over the past, what, 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. But Texas has kind of slid in and taking that spot right out of Georgia in their own conference the first year. I'm kind of surprised to say that myself, but yeah, I mean, I think Texas is the best team overall, in the nation, not even just against, you know, a team like Georgia, but in the nation. And that's why they're number one. And 5 points is, that's just one easy score. And I'm afraid if Georgia does not start out quick here, that it could get out of hand pretty quick. So I'm going to take Texas minus five.
Yeah, it's going to be a sweep across the board. Initially, I thought that was going to maybe come as a surprise, us all picking Texas, but I think we've all watched Texas over the last few weeks, and we've all watched Georgia, and if Georgia's clicking on all cylinders, they're one of the best teams in the country, but their offense and defense, to me, have not played well the entire game all year. I mean, you can even go back to the Clemson game. I know they won, and they won big, but look at the first half compared to the second half, and some of these games, it's like, obviously, look at Alabama, right? The defense gives up a bunch of points. The offense can't score, and then it's flip-flop. And then it's defense still, it can't really hold them, held them enough. And then the offense all of a sudden comes alive. So they're just so inconsistent right now. And we're at this point in the season where, you know, we kind of know who they are. So, yeah, like you said, it could still be a great close game. Yeah, like you said, 5 points is one score. So, you know, if Texas goes in and wins by 30, I think I'll be surprised. But by 5 points, I'm with you guys. So let's get a clean sweep right there with Texas. All right, let's move on to number six, Miami. Cam Ward and company still getting it done, still undefeated, top-ranked team in the ACC. They're traveling this weekend to Louisville. This is a noon kickoff on ABC. Miami opens up as 4.5-point favorites. Cam Ward, you know, trying to boost his Heisman hopes. Clint, who you got?
Listen, I got Miami in the ACC championship, and I don't think Louisville's going to screw that up here. Now, if Louisville wins, that doesn't necessarily mean Miami's out, but I just think Miami's on a roll. I think Cam Ward, yeah, he's volatile, right? he can make mistakes, but that's you know, that's what you have to deal with when you also get the highlight reel, right? So I like Miami here. Louisville, I know they had a few games where, like, okay, Louisville, like, they look like they're pushing for a run at the ACC championship game as well. But the top two teams they've played against, they've lost with Notre Dame and SMU, if you consider them one of the top teams. So, yeah, I like Miami here. Louisville, like, be careful. Like, they could sneak Miami here. I just don't see it happening. I think they're just playing good enough football to be able to continue to win games, something they haven't been able to do in past years. They found ways to screw things up. I think this year they make sure they take care of everything and they win again here.
I got you. My problem with picking this game is, do y'all boys really see an undefeated Miami at the end of the year? Like a 12-0 Miami with this team after the complete shit shows of a game they put on the past two games, Virginia Tech and Cal. I can't see that. I think they drop one somewhere, and with this light schedule, they really have this game, and then I think Florida to drop. I think Louisville's going to beat them here. I'll take Louisville plus 4.5, so at least I can, you know, I'll have that little bit of buffer, at least towards the pick, but I kind of think Louisville will win this game. They played Notre Dame and SMU pretty well, only lost by one score in both games, and that was at Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's a little bit more improved as of recently, but still, like, that was a pretty good showing for this team against both of those teams. And I think, like I've said, Miami is kind of flawed. And if Cam Ward just cannot pull him out yet again and get 450 yards passing, like you said, and buffer those Heisman stats, they've got to drop one at least. And I still think this puts them in the ACC championship because they can beat this team, or they can lose to this team and win the rest of the way out. Clemson plays Louisville later this year, so that could give Louisville their second conference loss. And so it'll be Miami still in the ACC championship game, in my mind. But I think they got to lose one. This team's too flawed and too reliant on Cam Ward, in my mind, to go undefeated. You know what I'm saying? I would look back at the season and kind of be like, wow, if they did, that means Cam Ward is damn good.
Yeah, well, and to your point, I guess it depends on how you look at it. Like, you can say they're flawed, and they are, right, to a point. At the same time, they're finding ways to win. And are they relying on Cam Ward? Yes. I mean, you look at this team compared to last year, but it's like, they have to rely on Cam Ward. He's one of the best players in the nation. Like, obviously, if they can keep him healthy. So I'm with you. Did I see this Miami team going undefeated? Not necessarily. They've won in some crazy, fluky ways. So it's like not surprising at this point. Louisville's also, I mean, they've come off, they lost two games in a row. And then to SMU and Notre Dame. Then they barely squeak out of beating Virginia, which is not a very good team. So it's like, I don't know. Like, Tyler Shaw hasn't played very well over there. It's going to be interesting. I see your point, though, Jacob. It is like, yeah, I think they drop one. Is it this week? I don't know. Just the, like, Louisville team hasn't maybe been as good as I thought they were going to be. I mean, they're still 4-2, so I mean, they're a decent squad.
Tell me the differences. I hate to interrupt you, but tell me the difference between Colorado and Miami right now.
Miami figured out a way to win two close ones, and Colorado lost a couple close ones. That's all, I mean, yeah, off the top of my head, right? That's all I can think
about. But it's
about
the same, Clint, kind of game plan, like, just all quarterback.
Not quite. I mean,
I think Miami's got a better defense.
Miami has more athletes for sure. I mean, yeah, you got Colorado. Like, we talk about this, like, they're like a three or four man show. I don't think that's Miami. Like, we talk about Cam Ward, but it's not like it's just the Cam Ward show, and then everybody else is just riding his coattails. Like, I think, this was my point in the beginning of the year, was like, this is the year Miami should do it. Like, if they're gonna, because they got the talent in, they got the, you know, the transfers in, they've recruited really well. And the rest of the ACC, save Clemson, is kind of down. So, like, I get the whole, they're going to slip up. They're going to slip up because that's the Miami way, right? Especially this past, like, decade. But if they, like, I think they know the same thing. I think they know who they've been. I think they're trying to get the monkey off their back and not have those stupid screw-ups anymore. But yeah, like, if we're here after this Saturday, we're chatting, you're just like, see, I told you, like, Miami's, they're going to screw up, and they did, you know, this Saturday. I wouldn't be too surprised, but I got to stay true. Remember, vibes, so give me Miami.
Yeah. That's true. Look, I'm leaning to Miami as well. I wish it'd be more maybe at the 3 mark, just because it is a noon kickoff. It's at Louisville. Like, you know, that kind of bodes well. I think it's going to be a very slow, like, I think it's going to be like to the end, are they going to cover or not? Like, I think just that noon kick, slow start. We'll see. You know, I think Louisville has really good coaching staff. I do like their program, but I think Cam Ward finds a way. And this team stays undefeated. And like you said, Jacob, probably doesn't have another test until they get Florida at the end of the year. So be looking forward to that. All right, let's move on. We'll get back to the SEC. Surprising, in a normal probably week, you know, game day probably would have been here as well. But number 7, Alabama, they're traveling to Neyland Stadium to take on number 11 Tennessee. This is a 3:30 kick on ABC. Alabama opens up as 3-point favorites. Bama coming off the close win versus South Carolina, almost goes into overtime. Tennessee coming over the walk-off win in overtime. Two kind of exhausting, emotional, crazy back-and-forth games both teams are coming off of. This is going to be a really good game, I think. So, Clint, who do you have in this one? Bama by 3 is the spread.
This was kind of tough for me, but especially with it being at Tennessee. However, I think Tennessee offensively has some issues, and I think we talked about it before. I don't know if they just don't trust Nico. I don't know if they're trying to protect him. I don't know exactly what they're doing. Mitigate mistakes, maybe. I don't know. But I think Alabama will be able to score. Like, we've seen that their issue isn't scoring. They could score. It's their defense, right? However, I don't know that Tennessee is able to keep up, at least with the way they've been playing, keep up with the scoring and, you know, come out with a win in this game. And it's a tight spread. I know it's -3 Alabama. Mm-hmm. I'll take the Tide and lay the points. I just, like, Milroe is almost impossible to stop. Like, if Tennessee, like, they have a pretty good defense. However, he kills you when he extends plays, when he gets those crucial third downs. Even though you have tight coverage on every receiver, he's going to run for the 8 yards to get the first down, and it kills you. And I think that's something that they're going to rely on. I don't think they want him to run as much as he has been, but I think he, you know, still is willing to. In Tennessee, offensively, I think they still are struggling a little bit and may not have everything figured out in time for this big game here. So give me Alabama. I'll lay the 3. I'll probably be sweating it, but I'm here for it.
I got you. I kind of want to get in y'all's boys' heads real quick. Do y'all see this being like a 17-13 game or like a 34-31 kind of game?
Dude,
I don't think Tennessee, well, they can. I just don't see Tennessee scoring 34
points. Not now, not versus this defense and not how they've been struggling. So I'm with Clint. Like, they can. It's probably more likely the lower.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking that too, and the over under is at 56.5. So I guess Vegas is maybe leaning a little bit more of the higher scoring kind. So I think if it's a defensive battle, I think Nico will make the mistake more than Jalen Milroe will. And I think because of that, I'm going to take Bama -3. All they have to cover, like you said, it's just 4 points, give or take. Like, I trust Bama as a program to cover that. But this is Josh Heupel's spot, is it not? Like, he's the offensive guru, and this is the time for him to – I mean, he beat Bama 2 years ago, but he had a player go absolutely bananas in that game with Hyatt, and they don't have that kind of athlete this year. I don't see Squirrel White replacing that and doing that. But until they can do it, I just don't think I can take Tennessee. It may be a close one, but I'm going to take Bama to cover the 3.
Yeah, you kind of hit on some points that I was going to. Obviously, it takes more than just the quarterbacks. But in a game where I think both teams have athletes on both sides to get it done, I'm going to look at who's got the better quarterback and who's got the most consistent quarterback. And right now it's Jalen Milroe. Like Clint said, things break down. He can run and get you a first down. He's making way smarter decisions than Nico has. Nico's been kind of making look, he's a redshirt freshman, right? Finally getting his first start. So to be expected to a degree. Because I think it'll be a little closer, I'm going to take Milroe and the Tide to cover that 3.
Real quick, are y'all like, with Heupel being like an offensive guy, what do you think the issue is? Like, in my head, I think we might have already talked about this before. It's just like, hey, just let him sling the ball. Let Nico just go. And
yeah,
it just doesn't make sense. And like, you're waiting so long. I don't know if there's like something going on in practice that they're just like, wow, we cannot run that. But like, at what point are you going to start letting this kid play? And I don't know if it's Heupel. I don't know if it's Nico himself. I don't know if he's got some, he's seeing ghosts or he's got doubts. I'm not sure, but like, man, let him lose this game. What do you got to lose? Yeah, I get it. It's at home, but it's Alabama and you're not going to win with the way you've been playing, right? Like, you're going to have to take some chances. So, man, let the kids sling. Let's see what happens.
The problem is, based on what they did their first, like, 3 or 4 games of the year, when you look at the end of the year, their stats are going to be skewed. Like, they put up, what, 50, 60 points a game the first few weeks, like, versus these inferior opponents. So, like, the stats, for, as far as hype, it, you know, goes, they're going to look pretty good. But you're right, dude. Like, I don't know if it's because, like Squirrel White's a good receiver. They got a couple other guys. But, like, Jalen Hyatt was not only, like, a good deep threat, but he's, like, he's a, you know, a little bit bigger of a body, right? A little bit stronger, maybe make some more physical catches. Like, if they had a big, a consistent 6'4", 6'5 guy can go up and get it, I think that would help him out. But I'm with you, Clint. Yeah, it's like, that's what he's known for. It's like, they still have those abilities. But yeah, something's not clicking. And maybe he is seeing ghosts, dude. You start facing some of the fronts he's facing, dude. Like, yeah, I mean, that it is what it is. Like, you're gonna have to start getting hit. And all your progressions and everything starts dwindling down. And now you got, you know, less than a second to make your decision to get the ball out, or you're getting rocked. So we'll see. We'll see. Jacob, anything on that before we move on?
No, I'm just looking back at the bot scores, and Nico's like 17 for 31, 16 to 26, but only for like 160, 170 yards. No touchdowns, of course. But like, I guess defenses are playing where, like, hey, you're not throwing the ball over top. We're not letting get, you know, just wide open passes 40, 50 yards down the field. And we're just going to make you dinking and dunking all the way down the field. And maybe he's struggling with that. I mean, I would too. Like, the first couple weeks, everything, it's like playing the video game. Like, you have a good game and you score 50 points. Like, oh man, that Hail Mary is open almost every damn time. And then you forget how to actually scheme your way down the field. And I think he's learning that. And I think Bamba sees that and we'll do the exact same thing. Just keep everything in front and Nico will struggle.
And that might be an adjustment too, based on hypo. Like, because when I think of the last few years of Tennessee, when I think of Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt, like, I think of long bombs down the field, like even up the middle, like these seam routes, right? Like, they were just knocking the top off these defenses. And so maybe it's more even just a scheme thing from the defenses, like a hypo thing. Like, obviously they know Nico's got a crazy arm. So like you said, Jacob, maybe we just keep everything in front of us. And maybe hypo's like, you know what? We're going to take what they give us and we're going to use the O-line. We're going to run the ball. And like, we don't need to throw the ball 50 times to get wins, which is true. They haven't lost a game yet. So we'll see. Maybe they're holding back a little bit. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, Tennessee?
Yeah. I mean, I say holding back. Maybe they're just like taking what the defense is giving them and not pushing it. Like, can Nico throw the ball 50 times a game? I think he can.
Well, no. I mean, they lost.
Who did they lose? Oh.
Arkansas.
Oh, my bad. I forgot about that. Yeah. Well, being ranked 11, I was like, I forgot they were like, what? I guess they were top five or six when that happened. I can't remember. Yeah. Just them. Yeah.
And they're SEC, so you can lose a couple and still be top 10.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's true.
That's how it works.
I literally forgot about the Arkansas game. All right, well, let's move on. Speaking of Arkansas, LSU's traveling to Arkansas this weekend. This is going to be a 7 o'clock game, ESPN. LSU, 2.5 point favorites. Clint, who you got?
Oh, 2.5. What did I read? Say bye.
20 and a half.
LSU minus 2.5. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Give me LSU. I thought it was a bigger number. I was still going to take LSU. And this is not a knock on Arkansas. Like, I think Arkansas is starting to play a little bit better. I don't know if Taylen Green is back. I don't know if y'all know. I know he had the knee injuries after they were playing Tennessee. If he is back, that's something to be concerned about if you're a Tiger, because that dude he could sling it. And he's young, but he can make some plays. I just think LSU's actually got some stuff figured out here. Defense playing a little bit better than the beginning of the year. And then you got Nussmeier, who's out here making some really good throws and making some smart decisions. So I like LSU here. It is tricky game, you know, being at Arkansas. But I think I'll stick with the Tigers here and lay the 2.5.
Darn, I thought you would pick your favorite quarterback, Taylen Green, there, Clint, but I guess not. But yeah, LSU with this line, I think LSU is kind of rounding into form, and they're going to prove to be probably up there with, you know, maybe even a better record than Bama when it's all said and done. But because I know they play them later this year, but they're going to be one of the top two, maybe even three teams in the SEC this year, and I think it's because of Nussmeier and that offensive line. I think that South Carolina game really rally the troops there, and they've just been running downhill ever since, obviously beating Ole Miss last week. and it's not going to slow down here. Sorry, Arkansas fans. But one interesting thing, I personally see LSU going there and putting up 30 plus. The over under is actually 1 point less than the over under in Bama and Tennessee. So I guess maybe we're off about that. Maybe Bama and Tennessee will be more high scoring than that. But I thought this game would be more high scoring. But yeah, I'm going to take LSU -2.5.
Yeah, I think this one is going to be a little more high scoring. LSU's got a lot of momentum coming in this week. Yeah, dude, Green's a good player. I'm with you guys on that. But I, like Clint said, I think LSU's kind of figured some things out. So I'm also going to take LSU to cover the 2.5. All right, next game, number 9, Iowa State. This is Jacob's newly hated team, it appears. They're hosting Central Florida. Jacob, don't forget our Central Florida side bet, right? I think it's over under, what, 8 or 9 wins for them? They're 3-3. They're 3-3 right now, not looking too good for them.
Yeah, it's not looking too good for me.
This is 7:30 kick, Fox Sports 1. Iowa State, 14-point favorites. You like that?
Me.
Yeah.
My bad. Dude, I'm so used to going the other way.
You're good. I saw you shaking your head up and down. I thought you were ready for some stuff.
Oh, dude, so real quick, because I'm on the road here, I usually have like my computer here, and then I have like my other computer sitting to the side, and that's where my stuff's pulled up. So half the time now, just because it's just this one computer, I'm clicked off of y'all, and I'm just sitting here like reading stuff and like football stuff, clearly. But so when I clicked it back, y'all were just like staring at me. I was like, oh, crap, my bad. Yeah, okay. Iowa State, definitely better than Clemson, right? I think that's what everybody believes.
That's what the voters think.
Taking no further questions. yeah, no, I like Iowa State here. The number does scare me a little bit, but I don't think UCF scares me that much. So Iowa State, we talked about the Big 12 and how wide open it is, and somebody's got to step up. Iowa State being one of the teams, BYU maybe being the other. So give me Iowa State, lay the 2 touchdowns, and we'll see how it plays out.
I just want to bang my head up against my mic, dude. Like,
do it.
Do it. I don't know how to, like, I know how I feel, but I want somebody to beat them. But I don't know if it'll be UCF because they are pretty bad. And I hate that bet that I made because they freaking benched KJ Jefferson last week in place of somebody named Jacob Brown. Like, I mean, he played okay against Cincinnati. They kept it close last week against Cincinnati. But, like, they're traveling to Iowa State. Who knows? I think there's a freaking cold front coming through. So it's probably going to be, like, 40 degrees. Florida dudes aren't ready for that. Like, it ain't going to be UCF that beats them. So, I mean, why not fucking jump on the bandwagon for this week? Iowa State -14.
Well, I didn't realize that they benched KJ Jefferson, so that is news to me. But you're right.
Yeah, he didn't even play last game.
You're right. UCF's not going to win this game, but UCF's going to cover this game. And hopefully KJ Jefferson plays. He played in Arkansas. He's played in the SEC. He's played in a couple cold environments. Give me UCF to cover the 14 and make a comeback in these standings, boys.
All right.
We'll see.
God.
I just like seeing Clemson's reaction. Oh, man. All right. Speaking of Clemson, as Clint mentioned them, Iowa State being better than Clemson, obviously by the rankings, Iowa State number 9, Clemson number 10, hosting Virginia. Noon kick, ACC Network, 21.5-point favorites are the Tigers. Clint, who you got?
Yeah, on to the inferior teams, right? So Clemson Tigers, listen. Early game, noon kickoff, conference opponent. I get it, Virginia. Not a super great team, but they're okay. They're not bad. I think with the 21.5 spread, I think that is a little bit rich. That's nothing against the Tigers. I do think they have improved throughout the year, especially Kay Klubnik in this offense. Defensively, obviously, still solid. But I do think just maybe it's a little sleepy coming out the gate, and you give Virginia, you know, what is that, 3 touchdowns? Like, yeah, let me take the Cavaliers and the points.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to obviously take Clemson here. -21.5. I think the point spread has actually been bet down in just a day to 20.5. So I guess a little bit money going towards Virginia, but I'm going to stick with my boys here. I think 2 weeks ago I said, yeah, I'm just going to start taking Clemson every single week until they can prove me wrong kind of deal, and I'm still sticking with them. It'll be nice seeing the old ball coach from Virginia coming back, old Tony, I'm blanking on his last name, but Mr. Tony's coming back.
Elliott.
Tony Elliott.
Well, their basketball coach today, Tony Bennett, decided he was retiring, so that might have messed you up a little bit.
No, that's what I'm blaming on. Yeah, that was kind of surprising. Isn't he kind of young, too? Like,
he is, relatively. Yeah, 3 weeks before the season, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's really weird. I wonder what's going on there. But, yeah, Virginia's got a – I think they're not as good as their record says, Clint. Like you're saying, they're not as – they're 4-2, but I don't think they're as good as that. They've beaten Boston College, Coastal, Wake. They lost to Maryland, lost to Louisville last week, and then they kept it close, but that was home. It's kind of hard to read this Virginia team. But we get them at home. We've been rolling through dudes. Like, I'm going to, -21.5.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Jacob, that Clemson's had the same spread the last few weeks versus teams that are better than Virginia, and Clemson's been covering. And I think two of the last three they've covered pretty quickly. Yeah, this Virginia team's not very good. No offense to Tony Elliott, not a big believer on him in this program. It just they've seemed to be going downhill every year. But look, maybe they'll get to a bowl game. PapaJohns.com bowl probably needs a couple of participants. So and maybe it's South Carolina versus Virginia. So I may eat my words. But this week, Clemson is going to cover the 21.5. And I think they're going to probably win more of like 30 points or so. So give me the Tigers, much as I hate to do it, but they're rocking and rolling right now. All right, let's stick with the ACC and kind of a quasi-ACC team. Number 12, Notre Dame, traveling to Georgia Tech. This is in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome there in Atlanta. Notre Dame opens up as 11.5-point favorites versus Haynes King and those Yellow Jackets. Clint, who do you have in this one?
I mean...
Yep, that's how I feel.
Notre Dame, like, their offense is figuring it out. That's what scares me. Like, I want to take Georgia Tech, but I do think that, like... Riley Leonard is starting to like settle in, and it's all starting to come together for this Notre Dame offense. I know it's in Georgia or at Georgia Tech. It's 11.5. No. They found the offense. Give me Notre Dame fives. Let's go.
Fives. Let's go.
I'm glad you could figure that out, dude.
Work your way back, dude.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm probably going to honestly go Notre Dame here. I'm not confident about it, but I know they crushed Stanford, so I don't want to get fooled by that because Stanford, that was already their third trip to the East Coast this season. And the week before, I think they went to Syracuse earlier in the year. Then they went to, talking about Stanford, and then they went to Clemson, and now they went to Notre Dame. So that was their third trip across. Should have
stayed in the Pac-12, dude. Wouldn't have had
exactly.
That
So I'm not going to take too much from that 49-7 win over Stanford last week for Notre Dame, but I still am confident enough they have athletes everywhere to beat Georgia Tech, even though Georgia Tech's a better team than they used to be. And they're sitting here 5-2, so I may eat my words, but to cover basically two scores, I'll take Notre Dame.
I'm not going to say much about Notre Dame because I've been saying a lot, and they've been – proving me wrong, and I think Riley Leonard threw the ball like 15 yards down the field last week, which is pretty impressive. But this is the best offense I think Notre Dame's faced in quite a few weeks. So this one's a tough one because Notre Dame has been trouncing people as of late. But give me Haynes King and the Yellow Jackets to cover that 11.5 indoor. You know, lots of traction for old Haynes King. I think he's going to run the ball. I think he's going to keep it close. So Notre Dame wins, but Georgia Tech cover the 11.5. Hopefully. We shall see. All right. Number 14, Texas A&M traveling to Mississippi State. We mentioned it earlier. Mississippi State actually was able to, they were 34-point dogs. I ended up only losing by 10 to Georgia last week. This is a 4:15 kick on the SEC network. The Aggies open up 16-point favorites. The over-under sitting at 55.5. Clint, who you got?
Does 16 feel like a lot to y'all?
Not to give away my pick. Yes.
Well, not trying to get y'all's picks here, but that, like, I don't know. That's kind of weird. I think the only thing that, I mean, yeah, they played Georgia closer than we expected, but I mean, Georgia was in no real position. Like they were going to lose that game.
Right.
And maybe that was Mississippi State's, like that was their Super Bowl was just not getting destroyed by Georgia. I don't know. I know they're at home. But I like this Aggie team. Maybe one of the most improved teams that we've seen so far this year. 16, Jesus.
Hey,
I'll tell you this, think
about the cowbells. That helps.
It does. It opened at 15 and the current spread's at minus 18 for A&M.
Whoa.
Wow.
But we got it at 16, so we're picking at 16.
Yeah. Give me the Aggies. Like, I like that team. I think they're getting better every week. And I think we'll look back and be like 16. It could be like a 10 to 31 game or something like that. So give me the Aggies.
Hell yeah. Vibes, dude. I like that team. Let's go.
That's right.
I'm going to do the same thing. I like that A&M team. Jimbo, Mike Elko taking this team where Jimbo Fisher never even dreamed of. This is an easy dub. A&M. Minus 16, give it to me all day.
Guys, okay. Give me the Cowbells, dude. The Cowboys are going to keep it within 16. Cowboys, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a home field advantage to a degree, so it'll be they'll be up by 18 or so, and Mississippi State will kick a field goal at the last second, and they'll cover the spread. That's what's going to happen.
Mississippi State's playing like Dak Prescott right now. Nah.
Hey, well, these are probably the best player to come out of Mississippi State of all time. So,
and he's not playing very well.
Well, yeah, you're right. But it doesn't matter. As long as the Bulldogs cover the 16, that's all that matters. All right, an interesting one. Let's move over to the shift to the Big Ten for a minute. Number 16, Indiana, hosting Nebraska, noon kick on Fox. Indiana, 6.5-point favorites over the Cornhuskers. Clint, who you got?
Give me Indiana. Let's see this train keep rolling, right? I do like Nebraska. I think they obviously have a talented quarterback, and I think they are improving from years past. But Indiana, man, they score, and they know how to win football games, and they've done so without fail so far this year. So give me Indiana, and I'll lay the 6.5. I do think they're a touchdown better than Nebraska. Let's see if Indiana can score at the high-ish clip that they've been scoring at, and if Nebraska can keep up.
I got you. Yeah, Nebraska's 5-1. I kind of forgot who they lost to until I just looked at it. And their one loss was to Illinois in overtime. Mm-hmm. And I think the two teams I get confused with all the time is Illinois and Indiana. I mean, you could probably guess why. So I think they're going to take another loss here. Give me Indiana and give me Curtis with a K. Curtis Rourke, the quarterback there. Give me Curtis with a K to cover the 6.5.
Did you guys like conspire against me tonight or what we have going on?
I think you're conspiring against us.
These things are written down right here. You guys are making picks on the fly. I don't know what's happening on the side text over here. But look, give me Nebraska. Jacob made a good point. Look, their only loss was to Illinois in overtime. They've still got Dylan Raiola. People forget about that, right? They've kind of gone on the radar the last couple of weeks. I think Matt Rhule is still a good coach. Indiana does have a lot of momentum, and I'd actually like to see them keep making a run. I don't think they have the ability to beat any of the actual top teams in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Oregon, anybody like that. Give me Nebraska to cover this 6.5, which honestly was, I think, one of the tougher ones this week. But yeah, hopefully Dylan Raiola, a.k.a. Patty Mahomes, will get it done. We'll see.
There you go.
All right. Number 17, Kansas State in the wide open Big 12, traveling to West Virginia, 7:30 kick on Fox. K-State, 3-point favorites. Clint, who are you going with?
Vibes, right?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Just got to do it.
Do it.
Ruin it?
Do it.
Give me the Mountaineers. Listen.
Oh, no.
K-State, they're a good team. However, I think they play with their food too much. And I think West Virginia is just looking for an opportunity. They've lost a couple games. I know that's eating at them. They just lost to Iowa State. But Iowa State's a really good team. Not saying Kansas State isn't.
No, they're not.
Dude, they're definitely top 10 for sure.
And not 10. Nine.
But I don't think, like, I know Oklahoma State's not good, but West Virginia was able to take care of them, and they're at home. Like, it's a night game. Let's get weird, right? Give me the Mountaineers.
That's true.
Is Pat McAfee gonna be there? I feel sure he's got to be, right?
No, he will be in Austin, Texas for game day.
Okay, whew, then okay, yeah, K-State all the way then. As long as Pat's
unless he leaves game day and goes to WVU, but you never know.
Nah, Dude, this K-State, I've been preaching it, but they got too many weapons to lose. I was really surprised at this spread, though. Kansas State -3. Like, I would have thought this would have been a lot of teams that have gone to play at West Virginia, the spread's been really close. Maybe that place is haunted or something.
Dude, those Mountaineer fans are wild, man.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I'm going to take KSU -3. That sounds like an easy dub for me. So yeah, I'll take it.
Jacob, put me in line for an easy dub as well. I'm going to take K-State. I just think Avery Johnson is too good of a quarterback.
Bandwagon.
Look, if there's a home field advantage that you can bet on, Clint, I think this is the place to do it. Morgantown gets crazy, especially at night, because they start drinking Friday at 4. So, and they're going to be drinking all day and all night. So it's going to get rowdy up there. But so you never know. But yeah, give me K-State. I just think they have the better overall football program. And I think the spread's a little too small. So yeah, I'm going to take K-State as well, Jacob. Hopefully we can put a dub on the stat sheet.
Oh, yeah.
All right, back to the SEC. Number 19, Missouri. Man, tell you what, struggling as of late. Obviously, they took care of high school team UMass last week. But they're hosting Auburn. This is a noon kick on ESPN. Missouri, though, Auburn's kind of been playing pretty well. Peyton Thorne's kind of coming around. Never thought I'd say that. 4.5-point spread, though, for the Mizzou Tigers. Clint, who do you have in this one? And honestly, one of the, I also think, a pretty difficult one to pick.
Honestly, for me, I'm going Tigers and pretty well. Tigers. I'm going Missouri here. Those Tigers. That's the key. Not a bad idea. You say Tigers, and then
Tigers.
So yeah, give me Missouri. Listen, like they took the embarrassing loss at Texas A&M, and the last thing I want to face is a pissed off Eli Drinkwitz, because the dude is a really good football coach. I know they're on like fraud alert and all that. I get it, but we knew they weren't like a elite talented team coming into the season, and they got beat up by A&M. I think it had them really reevaluating some things, and they came out and took care of business against UMass. I get it, UMass, whatever, but I think they're still like trying to make sure that people know that they're still one of the top teams in the SEC this year. So give me Missouri, and I know Auburn's kind of figuring some things out, but I'm not too worried about it here.
Yeah, I kind of, if I was going to make the line for this game, I would honestly say Missouri -10, -14, somewhere in that range. So I think that's what's going to happen. So I'm going to take Missouri to cover the 4.5, because Auburn, like you said, they've looked okay in some games, but here they are 2-4, and I think 0-3 in the conference, and their two wins is against Alabama, A&M, and New Mexico. Anytime they play any like decent team, including Cal, Arkansas, it doesn't work out too well for them, because they just cannot keep the ball. They always give it away somehow. So I think Missouri will capitalize on that and cover.
Yeah, it is hard to pick. With that being said, Missouri thing's weird, right? Like you said, Clint, like we expect them to, well, maybe they shouldn't be elite. They're going to drop off a little bit. But again, you still have Brady Cook. You still have Luther Burden. You still have Dominic Leavitt. Like, you still have like your core pieces, right? Obviously, you're missing the running back. So it is kind of weird how bad they struggle. So I don't know. It's almost, it's kind of like, it's not to this extreme, but it's kind of like the Georgia thing. Like, there's something that's missing, right? Obviously, it's maybe a little more magnified because of the blowout loss at Mizzou, and obviously the high expectations. They still are ranked. Look, earlier when I was doing my picks, I picked Auburn +4.5. If it was at Auburn, I'd feel way more confident. But I'm going to stick with my gut here. I think it's going to be a close game, a field goal game. I'm hoping Missouri proves me wrong. I've normally been pretty high on Missouri as of late. But it is a noon kick, and Auburn's defense is, it isn't one of the worst in the league by far. I think their D-line is going to get some pressure on Brady Cook. And again, there's just some disconnect. I don't know what it is with Cook and the receivers. But if they can get the ball to Luther Burden, then we don't have this discussion, and I'll eat my words. But until that point, until they can prove that, I'm going to take Auburn and the 4.5. Boys, this is going to be a flip-flop week, I tell you what. Holy cow. Looking at everything.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be really good or really bad for a group of us. We will see. All right. Number 21, SMU taking on Stanford. This is at Stanford. So, Jacob, I know you mentioned earlier, Stanford gets to stay home. This time, 8 o'clock kick on the ACC network. 16.5 for SMU. Kind of a lot. Clint, who you got?
Give me SMU vibes. I get it. You're crossing several time zones, and you know, it's, I do think though that SMU is like we talk about improved teams. I mentioned Texas A&M. I think SMU is another one of those teams where I think they start off a little bit slow this year, but have really turned it on as of late. 5-1, 2-0 in conference. And you're going to a Cardinal team where they're just, listen, they're not that great. Like they're getting their butts kicked. And I think that continues here. Give me SMU and I'll lay the points.
Simple and elegant. I like it.
There you go.
Yeah, this SMU team is 5-1, like you said, and the only loss is to BYU by 3 points. So I'm going to take SMU to cover. If it was maybe 20s plus, I would think about it. But I think SMU is genuinely probably like right there with Miami for us, like being an ACC actual contender this year. Being only 2-0 the conference, is still early to say that, but this team looks really good. So SMU minus 16.5.
Boys, I actually had Stanford plus 16.5 initially. Watching them a few weeks ago, look like they're actually able to move the ball a little bit. But when you actually look at the stats, dude, only scoring, I think, 7, 7, and 14 the last few weeks, just not going to cut it. SMU's got one of the more potent offenses in the entire country. Jacob, does Clemson play SMU this year?
We do not.
Man, that'd be a hell of a matchup, I think.
Lucky dog.
I'm gonna switch my pick, actually. Thinking about SMU and that offense, 16.5 seems like a lot, but Stanford's really kind of shit the bed recently. So I'm gonna join you guys and I'm gonna take SMU as well. I just, looking back at the recent scores, like if Stanford's only scoring 14 points, they're definitely gonna be beat by more than 16. If this team would be scoring 20, 30 points a game, different story. But even at home, I think SMU is gonna be able to score a lot of points. So give me SMU, switching my pick.
Nice.
Need that. All right. Again, another tough one. Number 22, Illinois, hosting number 24, Michigan. 3:30 kick on CBS. Michigan, 3.5-point favorites. Who's starting at quarterback? I'm not sure, to be honest. It could be any of the three that I played this year. So, with that being said, Clint, it doesn't give you a lot of confidence, but who you got in this one?
Give me the Fighting Illini. You're telling me, like, dude, Michigan, they're not that great of a team. Like, they're good, but they're... This is not like last year. So you're telling me you're going to give me points with Illinois? And I think it would be hilarious if Illinois beats Michigan, because then you're just like, oh, God, what's wrong with this Wolverine team? I think Illinois is on a tear here. I know they had a weird second half last week and almost coughed it up to Purdue. But I'm just going to say that was a fluke moment for them, and they're going to come out and then hopefully take care of business. But even if they don't win, I hope they keep it close. So give me Illinois plus points.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to take Illinois too, because they have the best quarterback on the field. I think Luke Altmyer has really proven himself this year and taken that leap. Obviously, I think this will be probably the best. No, I'm not going to say the best, because they played Penn State a few weeks ago, and I think Penn State's defense is a little bit better than Michigan's this year. But Michigan's just, if they can get 250, maybe even 300 yards on the ground against Illinois, then they have a shot. But yeah, you're going to say Michigan's favored by 3.5. Like, I'm taking Illinois plus 3.5.
I'm the same, boys. I told you before the pod started, it was kind of a toss up. I saw the uniforms Illinois wearing. They're wearing the old school helmets, look like it's the old leather helmets of back in like the 20s and 30s. So old school, run the ball, get it done. I know that's been kind of Michigan's MO, but look, they're just not getting it done with Orgy or Davis Warren or the other guy who's played. I don't even know his name. So they're just not very consistent right now. Again, you're going to give me points. I'll take Illinois and the 3.5. All right, let's get into a couple good storylines, man, that we've had recently. Two new teams that we'll be talking about next, ranked in the top 25. One of those is number 23, Army. They're hosting East Carolina. Army runs the ball at a ridiculous pace. I mean, imagine if Jancy was on this team. Holy cow. I mean, see what they're doing without him. This is a noon kick. ESPN2. East Carolina's 3-3. Army 15.5-point favorites. Clint, who you rolling with?
Air Force. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned... yeah. Let's not talk about Air Force right now. Yeah, you mentioned Army and their offense and them running. I think their defense is something to mention too. I mean, they take care of business on that side of the ball. Teams do not score a whole lot against them. And they're not playing a bunch of slubs either. I get it. They're not, you know, out here, you know, taking on Georgia or Ohio State, but they're definitely doing well against some halfway decent teams. So give me Army to lay the points, cover the spread. And honestly, I don't know much about East Carolina this year, so I have nothing for them. It doesn't look like they're having a super great season. So give me Army.
Yeah, I'm going to make it short and sweet. I'm not going to speak for y'all, but for me, I'm just going to pick Army Navy until they lose, honestly, because that's just such a great story. I'm going to take Army here, and I think it's because I see ECU went to Charlotte last week and gave up 55 points. I mean, if that's any kind of indication, I think Army could score 50 again on them here. So, yeah, give me Army minus 15.5.
Yeah, for some reason, I kind of flip-flop my picks. There's one of the receivers on East Carolina is actually from the Somerville area. He's a freshman out there. Look, East Carolina's quarterback, he's thrown for over 1,100 yards, but he's thrown 8 touchdowns. He also thrown 12 interceptions. So he's going to throw some touchdowns, but he's probably going to, for every touchdown, he's going to throw 2 picks. So just to let you know. But look, 15.5 is a lot. Army's going to run the ball all day. For some reason, though, I got East Carolina covering the 15.5. That's what I wrote down. I'm going to stick with my gut. Hopefully, Army runs the clock out. They win by 2 touchdowns. And we'll go from there. Don't worry, next pick, I figured it out. So, like Jacob said, Army Navy, that's who we're talking about. So, Navy coming in ranked number 25, hosting Charlotte. Both of these are AAC conference matchups, actually, for both of these teams. And obviously, that's kind of been the talk of town, right? With these teams potentially playing each other in the conference championship. And again, in a few weeks, the Army Navy game, which would be pretty impressive because if that's the case, these teams being undefeated. We're also talking about a potential playoff spot. So things are going to get real interesting for these teams and for America. It'd be pretty cool, honestly. But let's get to the game. So again, Navy hosting Charlotte, a 3:30 kick. This is the CBS Sports Network. Navy, 17-point favorites. Clint, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, give me Navy. Like Jacob said, man, this has turned into a really awesome story. I hope it continues, and I'm not gonna jinx it here. So yeah, give me Navy, and I'll lay the 17 as well. let's see it going. That would be awesome. We get to the end of the year, and these two are having a showdown undefeated. So I'll take the Midshipmen.
Yeah, this one worries me a little bit more because Charlotte, like I said, did score 55 last week. But agreed. I'm still gonna take Navy here minus 17.
I'm taking Navy minus 17. Give me the Midshipmen. Little backwards if you look at the common opponent, but I don't know, dude. It's Army Navy. You never know. I think Army probably right now has the advantage on the ground, but I think overall maybe Navy has a little bit more as far as passing the ball, if need be. But we'll see. Two pretty big spreads, and honestly, some games I'll be keeping an eye on. I haven't really watched any Army Navy yet this year, so be something to keep an eye on for sure. All right. That wraps up the ranked matchups. We're going to cover one more game. Clint, our Gamecocks are taking on Oklahoma. That's going to be in Norman, a 12:45 kick. That's a first for us this year. SEC Network, Oklahoma, 1.5-point favorites. I know who you got, but tell me why.
I know I say it every week, but It's this defense, right? This pass rush defense. And hopefully we on offense come out strong and are able to score early. That way the Sooners have to start passing. And I think that's when we start to thrive is getting to the quarterback sacks, maybe a fumble here and there, maybe an interception. I'm not going to say show out, but I think we win pretty solid here. And I know like soon it's not an easy place to play at, and they're still a solid team, but I think we're there. Like, I think we're that close. Like, we've seen what the South Carolina team has looked like so far. We saw the game against LSU. We saw the game against Alabama last week. Like, we're right there. Like, we just need to finish drives, one, on offense, make sure we're making our field goals, yep, and not shoot ourselves in the foot. Sellers, hold on to the freaking ball. Let's not put our team in bad positions with weird fake punts, you know, second or first drive of the game, whatever. So, I think we're gonna do pretty well this game, and I think we cover the spread pretty easy. So give me the Gamecocks, and what is it? What,
one and a half?
Yeah. So it's like we're almost favored anyway. Not really, but on a neutral site, you're probably favored. So yeah, give me the Gamecocks. Sure.
JC, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I think Clint, you're right. The defense is the talk, right? And the defensive coordinator for us, Clayton White, said that they haven't even played their best this year, which if you've seen our defense play, that should get you pretty excited, because I tell you what, the D-line's played pretty damn well. And obviously when the D-line plays well, you see what happens. Then we're getting interceptions. The corners and safeties are able to kind of roam around a little bit more, and the quarterback's got to force up some quick passes. And I think with also the thing that gives us an advantage is the fact that I don't care which quarterback you put up there, whether it's Michael Hawkins or Jackson Arnold, these are both very young quarterbacks. So I think, look, you're going to unleash Kyle Kinnard and Stewart off the edge. You're going to have Tonka Hemingway and Boogie Sanders and Boogie Huntley and TJ Sanders coming up the middle. I think that they're going to be seeing ghosts pretty quick. So yeah, I obviously like to see the offense really just take care of the ball. And I think if we can run the ball like we have and make a couple explosive plays I'm kind of with you, Clint. I don't see why we can't win this game by 10 points, right? Just based on kind of what I've been seeing from Oklahoma. And again, I kind of hope they go Michael Hawkins because he's looked a little shaky, but I don't think it really matters who they put back there, because again, I think we're gonna really get after the quarterback like we've been doing. So yeah, I'm gonna take the Cox pretty easily in this 1.5. You're gonna give us those points, man. Hammer those all day. And I'm gonna be in Tennessee tomorrow, so that means I can gamble. So there will be bets made, boys. Just to let you know, there will be bets made, and I'm gonna be smart. I'm not gonna do a ton of parlays. Okay, I'm putting. I just put all my money on the damn Cox.
There you go. You're taking South Carolina in Cocktober, right? We hadn't even said it's Cocktober right now.
No. Well,
that's probably why we lost.
Yeah. We didn't say it right.
Yeah. Boys, this game opened up at 3.5 for Oklahoma. They were favored, and it quickly jumped to just -1.5 for Oklahoma. So the money went straight to South Carolina. I'm kind of worried, probably obviously more than y'all are, about Sellers and his decision-making so far against a defensive mind like Brent Venables. I know Oklahoma looked pretty bad against Texas last week, but who doesn't? At this level, we see that Texas is set. Who doesn't look bad? I'm kind of afraid for Sellers a little bit. I think that Venables will dial up some blitzes he's not ready for. I'm confident in y'all's defense against that offense, like that quarter, whoever, like you said, JC, whoever they got playing quarterback at OU, I'm not confident in right now. So I think this will be a defensive battle, but like until y'all can have a little bit more discipline or show me some more discipline and Sellers can prove it to me going on the road, hostile environment like that, that defense, like, and you're only giving me 1.5 that OU has to cover. So it's basically a pick 'em. I could see y'all losing by just a field goal, and I hate to do this to you boys, but I am going to take Oklahoma here.
Was it the Iowa State comments?
It was.
I'm sorry, man.
I think it was. I think it was.
Mean nothing by it. Jesus.
Jacob, what are you doing Saturday at 12:45?
Probably watching a Pee Wee football game.
Okay, listen. I need you to sit on your couch and watch this game, and all of your concerns
I think that's
magically go away.
Magically go away. What's the reasoning?
Trust me on this.
Just trust you.
Just watch the game and come back to report back. Report back here next pod, and you just let me know what you see. Okay,
dude, that'd be awesome because y'all definitely need this win. That'd be awesome if y'all treated this team like Kentucky and just freaking boat race them. That'd be awesome.
Give it to me. And OU's kind of, I think they're still pretty injured on wide receiver too. So we have an opportunity.
Yeah, dude, they had a lot.
This will be the one that makes me like, all right, whatever for the rest of the year, because like you lose to Alabama, okay. Like you lose to LSU, like you can choke those down. But this OU team, they're not firing all cylinders, and they have a lot of injuries around to deal with. If we blow this, and I feel like the way we would blow it is undisciplined football. I hope it doesn't happen because I'm going to be a miserable, miserable guy to have on this pod for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Jacob. This game could make me rage quit. Like, I tell you what.
Season? Yeah.
100%. Especially if I got money on it too, which I will as of tomorrow afternoon. So, which also is going to, but I feel pretty confident.
I think the magic number for y'all is 20. If y'all could score 20, I would feel like, if you guaranteed me 20 points, I would feel pretty good. But I can't trust it because y'all only put up 3 against Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss's defense, I mean, is Ole Miss's defense better than OU's defense?
No, it's just every time we got a first down, somebody got hurt. So we didn't get in a rhythm.
Very true. So I don't know. If y'all score 20, I would say that y'all could win this game.
We'll score 20.
Fair
Guaranteed.
Enough.
Guaranteed we'll win 20.
I'll sit right on the couch and watch that then.
I'll score 20. I would appreciate that, buddy. If you don't mind sending me a picture of you doing that, it would be fantastic.
Cocktober, baby.
Cocktober, baby. Boys, I appreciate it. See you next time. Cocktober, let's go.
See you, boys.
See you.